بھولیں گے، کربلا نہ بھولیں گے، کربلا نہ بھولیں گے۔
شیطان الرجیم، بہ نستعین، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله الذي جعلني حمدا مفتاحا لذكري وسببا للمزيد من فضلي ودليلا على آلائه وعظمتي، والحمد لله الذي هدانا لولاية إمام زماننا وآبائه الطاهرين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل
فرجه، وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض، أإله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون، صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل.
First and foremost, I give my condolences to all of you on this sad occasion which we have come to commemorate, and that is the Shahadat of Imam Hussein, his family, and his companions. As we've been discussing since the beginning of Muharram, the dua of Imam Zaman, the dua which he will recite when he returns, أَمْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرُ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. In order to understand this appropriately, we begin from verse 59 of Surah An-Naml. This Amma Yujib is verse 62. We began from verse 69. Because this introduces the idea that why is the Imam Mudtar, why is he in this position where he is distressed, or he is one who is calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the su, or the situation which is upon the believers. So on one hand, it is the believers are in a difficult situation because of, again, their inattentiveness to the Imam himself, on one hand, as we explained. A second reason why the Imam is in this situation of need, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's promised that in the end of time, the Imam will come. But there are conditions. Those conditions have not been met. So the Imam, he's muftar. He's calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, that make these conditions right, make those who claim that they are the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, make them strong, make them firm, so that the reappearance will happen. One of the reasons for, again, the Imam being in Muftar in this Faraj, the reappearance has not occurred, as we mentioned in the last part of verse 59, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states, Allahu khayrun amma yushrikun, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands, his actions, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, is that better, or what others associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They may associate their own nafs, their own desires with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands one thing, establish your salat, give your zakat, pay your homes, go to the Hajj. But if our nafs, our desires get in the way, then we are obeying our nafs rather than obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, as the Prophet he stated, this is a type of shirk. It's a type of associating, you know, or you're giving authority to someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're giving authority to yourself, your own nafs. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states in the Quran, have you not seen that individual who makes his nafs his Lord? After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins that series of verses which we mentioned in the very beginning, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins, Amman is not. Or is Allah, is he the one, or is not Allah the one who has done these different things? And of course, as we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he repeats this five times. Verse after, Amma. Amman khalaqa, amman yujib, amman ja'ala. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is drawing our attention to these particular verses and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating. According to many of our mufassirin, they say that these verses, they are also in connection with the last part of Surah 59. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allahu khayrun amma yushrikun, is not a lot better, or is what those individuals associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that better? Which one is best? Allah's command or someone else's command? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins, Amman khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard, meaning, is Allah better? The one who has created the heavens and earth? Wa anzala lakum min as-sama'i ma'an, and who has sent down for you from the heavens, from the skies, water. Is this God or Allah who is the creator of this blessing, this ni'mah that we see in the heavens and the earth? The one who has created this ni'mah of water. Is he better or amma yushrikun? That he has sent for you water. وَأَنْزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. The most essential thing of life is water. Anything that lives, and this is scientifically proven, anything that has life, the one thing that it needs in order to survive is water. Without water, anything with life, it dies. Whether it's the human body, or whether it is a plant, whether it's an animal, and anything, it needs water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has sent this down for you. So he's asking, is the command of this God who has created these blessings for you, is he better, or those things which you associate partners with? فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ هَدَائِكَ ذَاتَ بَحْجَةٍ. And he has created from this water, again, he has created it for you. He's created for his creation. He has created for it hada'ika, gardens, data bahjatin, that is bearing fruit, that is good, that is beautiful. Ma kana lakum an tunbitu shajaraha, and this thing is not in the ability of any of you to give such blessings to the entirety of mankind. That no one has this ability or this power as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, yet we see that some, they associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They associate their nafs, they obey their nafs rather than obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet they cannot produce such blessings and ni'mah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has produced. وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُنْبِتُوا شَجْرَهَا أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ. And is there any God? Is there any Lord or any authority that should be obeyed other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ. However, we find that most people there, يعدلون, they transgress. They do not appreciate that blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. They transgress. This verse is a very interesting verse. In fact, when these five verses came down that begin, أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيب, when they came down and they were revealed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى
It stated that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, he was with the Prophet. And when they were revealed, the Prophet, he looked toward Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because as Amir al-Mu'mineen, he also heard these verses. It stated that the expression on the face of Amir al-Mu'mineen changed. And the Prophet, he says, مَا لَكَ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Ya Abu al-Hassan, what is it, Amir al-Mu'mineen? Imam Ali, he responded, he says that when he heard this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making these statements, he said, عَجَبْتُ مِنْ جُرَأَتِهِمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ That it surprised me, that I am amazed that with all of these blessings, that how someone could transgress, that how someone can disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I'm surprised at this. I'm shocked at this. That with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explaining again his greatness, his blessings upon mankind, that people still, they transgress. Then he says, وَحِلْمُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ And also what surprises me is still when individuals are transgressed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy upon them. That He still allows them to correct themselves. That though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them such blessings and they turn away from those blessings, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues to give them blessings. And also, he's offering a time period that one can change. One can, again, submit to that tawheed, as we mentioned. And then the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he stated to Amir al-Mu'mineen, because this verse also, it deals with the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. It says, Ya Ali, لَا يُحِبُّكَ مُنَافِقٌ وَلَا يَبْغَذُكَ مُؤْمِنٌ That the hypocrite will never love you. And the one who is a believer, he will never hate you. وَلَوْلَا أَنْتَ لَمْ يُعْرَفْ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ وَحِزْبُ رَسُولِ He says, and if it was not for you, Amir al-Mu'mineen, those who are the Hizbullah, the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are the party of Rasulullah, they will not be known. In other words, Amir al-Mu'mineen and his Ahlul Bayt, they will make a clear distinction between those who follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse is, again, like many verses of the Quran, amazing. And amazing at the metaphor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He places in this verse. He says, أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ That is He not the one who has created this heaven and earth for you? وَأَنْزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً That He has descended, He's brought down for you water. The most essential element of life. And that is our physical life. That anything you want to grow, you want to plant a tree, you want to plant any vegetation, you have to give it water. Any human life, if you want to keep it alive, you have to, again, give it water. Sometimes some people get so ill in the hospital and they can't eat. So what do? They put an IV in their arm. And what is it? It's liquid. The body has to have this water in order to stay alive, in order to develop, and in order to grow. In the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam, this water is also paralleled with a spiritual type of element that is needed. So if we need water, H2O, again, to survive physically in this physical world, then we also need another substance to survive spiritually, and that is the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. Without that wilaya of Rasulullah and his Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam, then the soul will not survive as it should survive. This is one of the indications of this verse. The tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about, that from this water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has created for you a garden. And of course, most gardens, they have trees, they have vegetations, they have fruits. He has created for you this garden. And he states, وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُنْبِتُوا شَجِرَهَا. You're not able to develop not even one tree in this garden. And what is this tree? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and elsewhere in the Quran, he gives an example with this tree. لَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ذَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجِرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً. Have you not seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts forth examples and metaphors? A beautiful word. كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً. Tawheed, Walayat, these beautiful ideas and thoughts and concepts. He says, these are like shajaratin tayyibah. They're like a nice and a beautiful tree. Asluha thabit wa far'uha fis sama. That this tree, its roots are firmly planted and its branches are extending towards the heaven. When the Prophet and when the Ahlul Bayt, they were asked that, what is this shajaratun tayyiba? What is this kalimatun tayyiba? He said, this is the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam. It is the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So again, this tree, we can think of it as a family tree, the tree of the Ahlul Bayt. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, مَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُنْبِتُوا شَجْرَهَا. You're not able to even create and produce a tree like this. An example like this. That if you want to divert from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent and try to create some alternative example of what it means to be human, of what it means to be devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even what it means to have a wholesome and a fruitful household, you're not able to bring any example like this. And of course, this example or this metaphor, as we mentioned, that this shajara, this is the Ahlul Bayt. And the Prophet himself, he said it, وَأَنَا أَصْلُهَا. أَنَا أَصْلُهَا, meaning أَصْلُ الشَّجَرَة, that he is the roots of this tree. وَعَلِي فَرْءُهَا. And Ali is the branches. And in other riwayat, the Prophet, he states, and his Ahlul Bayt. Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, they are the branches. In other places, he says that Ali and Fatima, they are the branches. And Imam al-Hassan and Hussein, thamaruha, are the fruits of that tree. look at, again, the metaphor that's put forth. Look at, again, the blessing and ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in Rasulullah and his Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. The Prophet, he states, was shi'atuhum, and the Shia of himself, the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, of Fatima, of Hassan al-Hussein, was shi'atuhum waraquha. They are the leaves on this tree. They are connected to this tree, or at least they should be connected to that tree. They should take their example from that tree. So, again, in our faith, in our direction in life, in how we even raise a household, when we have our children, that, how do we raise our children? How should our children be in our household? What is the relationship that we should have? Again, mother, father, children, your son, daughter. The example is there. The example has been given. And subhanAllah, we've been given plenty of opportunity. Again, to remember this household, to remember this shajaratun tayyibah. That 14 ma'sumin, and most of our centers, various times of the year, 14 times a year, we come and we celebrate their lives, their birth, or commemorate their shahada. But not simply to repeat an event of history, but to learn their lifestyle. That, how is it that they created a household like this? What was the relationship between husband and wife? What was the relationship between father and son, father and daughter, mother and son, mother and daughter? What was the relationship between cousins, brothers, sisters? What is that relationship? It is here before us. At times we think that, oh, well, you know, Dr. Fulham, he's written the best book in child psychology or how to run a household. The best example is in the Prophet. The best example is in the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. And we should learn from that. Unfortunately, sometimes we look elsewhere. We look elsewhere. Oh, well, what did this person do? Or how did they do it? Rather, look at the Ahlul Bayt. What have they stated? What have they recommended? Even with the tarbiyat of our children. That with each stage, 7 by 7, we should have a certain relationship. But in the first 7 years, okay, well, they're young, they're learning, they're, you let them play. You don't be very strict with them. When they get to the age of 7, or getting close to the age of 7, this is, again, when you have to begin to give them very good training to make sure that you're preparing them for when they become young adults, when they're reaching into the age of puberty, understanding their responsibility. At that age is quite a difficult age, but again, we have the example. Look at the youth of Karbala. When we look at the youth of Karbala, that young men at the age of 13, some of them even younger than that, 10, 9, sacrificing their lives for the Imam of their time. They understand what their duty is, their responsibility is. And this comes from the home. This comes, again, from the parents being the example for their children. Comes from their uncles being the example for their children, their aunts being the example for their children. It's all there. It is our responsibility to go forth, to look, to read, to understand that what made this household what it is. And take from that household as the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states, "Tuba li'abdin tamassaka bi'asliha wa akala min fara'iha." Great tidings to that servant who has held fast to the roots of that tree and has eaten from the branches, the fruits of that tree. That when we commemorate, when we remember Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdalus salam, it shouldn't just be a custom, shouldn't just be a habit, but each and every time it should be a learning experience. That what can I gain from Ahlul Bayt? Not only what can I learn, what can I begin to implement in my life? That if we walk away from Muharram, even with one thing that we've learned from Ahlul Bayt, and begin to implement in that thing in our household, then we've benefited from the remembrance of Imam Hussein. We've benefited from the remembrance of the Shuhada of Karbala. We have eaten from the fruits of that shajaratun tayyiba. So I.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
faraj. This is, again, our objective from remembering Imam Hussein. Again, how to prepare ourselves, even for the Imam of our time, when he appears. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten that reappearance. How have we prepared ourselves? Have we prepared ourselves? Have we prepared our children? Have we prepared our families? Or is our love and our claim for Ahlul Bayt love, is it firm? Is that love as it should be? In one discussion between Imam Sadiq alayhi afdalus salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil.
A companion, an individual by the name of Sadiq, he came to Imam Sadiq alayhi afdalus salam, and interesting, this very ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "Ma kana lakum an tumbitu shajaraha," that you're not able to produce one tree of this beautiful garden. He asks Imam Ali, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, about this. That Imam Sadiq, he had a discussion, and when he first appeared to Imam Sadiq, he asked this individual, "Who are you?" And he responded to Imam Sadiq, "Is Ana muhabbik wa muwalik. I'm someone who love you. I'm someone who holds fast to your walayat." Then Imam Sadiq alayhi afdalus salam, he questioned. He says, Ayyu muhibbina anta? What type of lover are you? What is the degree of your love for Ahlul Bayt, for us? And it's very interesting that when we hear the response or what Imam Sadiq alayhi afdalus salam tells us, we have to reflect upon our lives. What type of lover of the Ahlul Bayt are we? What type of love for the Ahlul Bayt are we, again, teaching our children? And that will reflect even in our relationship with our children, our relationship with our children as parents, the relationship that our children has with one another, as brother or sister, the relationship that we or our children may have, even with the Islamic Center, that what is your, again, their devotion to understand Ahlul Bayt, to love Ahlul Bayt. So Imam Sadiq asked me, "What type of lover are you?" And Sadiq, he was surprised. He says, "Yabni Rasulullah, son of Rasulullah, how many types of lovers are there?" And Imam Sadiq responded, "Thalatha tabaqat." So there are three types of lovers. Those who claim that they love us, Ahlul Bayt, he says, you'll find them, they're on three types. Then he said it, that tabaqatun أحبونا في العلانية ولم يحبونا في السر. He says, you'll find those who like us or who love us in open or in their apparent lives. وَلَمْ يُحِبُّونَ وَلَمْ يُحِبُّونَنَا فِي السِّرِّ. But they do not love us in secret. Subhanallah. Meaning that when you see them, they may appear to be the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. Whatever that may be, wearing the aqiq, wearing the black, crying. This is an open. For they are out in the open, you see them. They look like the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, but in sir, in secret, when you're alone, when it's themselves, when you're not out in public, they do not love us. They're not that devoted to us. And this comes in our actions, that how are we when we're in the masjid? Most of the time, mashallah, I'm here in the masjid and I'm mourning for Imam Hussein, I'm remembering the Ahlul Bayt, I have to show my devotion for Ahlul Bayt. I have to show that, yes, I'm a Shia of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. That I'm dressed appropriately. I'm speaking appropriately. My thoughts and my eyes and my hands and all these things, appropriate. But as soon as when we leave, then are we the lovers of Ahlul Bayt? Are we such that the Ahlul Bayt, they will be proud that, yes, this is from our Shia. This is a leaf from our Shajara. Are we such that Imam Sadiq alayhi wasallam, he says, Kunu zaynan lana wa la tukunu shaynan lana, that be an ornament for us and don't be a source of disgrace for us. Don't be one way that when we're in the masjid and when we leave, that we are a different way. When we are at our homes or at our stores, shopping, out in school, our relationships that we have outside the masjid. Don't be a different way. Show your love and your devotion for Ahlul Bayt openly. And in secret. When you're among your Muslim brothers and sisters, and when you're not. Imam Sadiq alayhi wasallam, he says, this tabaqa, or this level of those who are devoted, they love us in open, but in secret they do not love us. He says, this is a namatul awsat. In other words, this is average. They are showing some devotion. At least they're conscious of that love. Conscious somewhat, and they are showing it. Not the best and the highest form of love for Ahlul Bayt, but it's average. Then Imam Sadiq, he says, "Tabaqatun yuhibbunana fi sir, wa lam yuhibbuna fi al-alaniyah." That they love us in secret, but they do not love us in open. Subhanallah, how is it someone loves us in secret? But openly they do not love Ahlul Bayt. And Imam Sadiq alayhi wasallam, just so that it is clear, he says, this is a namatul asfal. He says, this is the worst, the lowest form of love and devotion. They love us in secret, but openly they do not love us. What type of love is that? What type of devotion is that? That when they're out, and unfortunately sometimes we see some Muslims who are like this, this happens. I've been given a name by my parents. Excellent name. Name from Ahlul Bayt, Ja'far. But when I'm out in the open and I'm doing work and business, oh, don't call me Jeff. Call me Jeff. Oh, my name is Muhammad. Oh, no, don't call me Muhammad. I'm Mo. But it's in secret. Oh, yeah. Oh, so I come. I'm Jaffa. But with everyone else, oh, no, I'm Jeff. I'm Mo. I'm Mike. I'm Fred. Somehow. What type of level of alibate is this? In fact, Imam Sadiq alayhi wa sallam, he says, this group of individuals, and subhanAllah, listen to what he says, طلوبهم معنا وسيوفهم علينا. He says, such individuals, their hearts are with us, but their swords are against us. This is like the people of Kufa. This is what Farazdaq, he said about the Ahl Kufa when Imam Hussein met with Farazdaq. He says, قلوبهم معكم وسيوفهم عليكم. That their hearts are with you, but their swords are against you. Meaning that they know the truth. They understand what is right and what is wrong. But rather than being brave and learning courage from Ahlul Bayt, they stay silent. Oh, we can't say anything. Oh, we have to not show that we're devoted to Ahlul Bayt. Oh, well, we can't show that we're Muslim. And again, this is something that it comes from the home. It comes from the home. In fact, one of the unfortunate things, again, and this is a true story. Actually, someone came to me once, and they were like, Sheikh, I need help with my child. I said, what is going on? Well, when he goes out, he eats from McDonald's, and eats burgers, and all these things, and so I started kind of, I was like, what, you know, why are they eating from McDonald's? Why are they eating these things? And my first question is, did you ever feed them these type of things? Well, when we were on trips, we used to give them Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, well, he wasn't balak yet. They were, you know, 7 or 8 and 5, and we fed them these things because, you know, we're on a road trip, there's nothing else. I said, subhanAllah, that you raised your children on this thing, now that they're responsible, they're balak, and they must abide by the Sharia, now you want to take them away from it. I said, you have, the issue here is now something, you have brought them up on this. That in, again, this duality of devotion to Ahlul Bayt, this duality of Islam or being Muslim, this is something from the very young age we have to instill in our children. We have to be examples for our children. Oh, well, I have a problem with my children. They're disrespectful. This is something from the very young age we have to instill this in. But if we want children like Aun and Muhammad, we can only speak about them every year. Aun and Muhammad, their sacrifice. Qasim, his sacrifice. How did Aun and Muhammad become Aun and Muhammad? How did Qasim become Qasim? From the example that was in their household. Again, as parents, as grandparents, as uncles, as aunts, that we shouldn't display this duality. No, be proud as Muslims. Teach our children the appropriate understanding of Islam. Again, there's no tree like this tree. And there's no knowledge like the knowledge of that is given to Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. Unfortunately, we have some nowadays who think that, oh, well, no, this is outdated stuff, or we have to change. No, it's not. We have to, again, to go to our roots and understand the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. if we are really aware of the legacy of, again, of Muslims, of Ahlul Bayt, those who stuck to that knowledge, the unfortunate thing is that this knowledge has been taken away from the Muslims. There's a one time that the most literate people in the world were Muslims. Unfortunately, now you go to some places, then the literacy level of Muslims are less than others. Even statistically, even now, they say that some of the most learned people, even in America, are who? They're Muslim. They're Muslim. When you give a per capita statistics that how many Muslims have degrees, they're Muslim. This is something that we learn from, again, the Ahlul Bayt. But even with this, quite often what we learn or what we take as knowledge, we go through other sources rather than looking at what we have been given from Ahlul Bayt. Going back to those sources and doing detailed studies. And if we did that, we'll see that, well, in fact, you know, something very simple, and I'll mention this, I've mentioned it several times, that even something simple as, okay, well, taking care of your dental hygiene. The Prophet, he said that every time you make salat, brush your teeth. Which means we'll be brushing our teeth 5 times a day. Or if we joined our salat, then we'll brush it 3 times a day. But yet, many of us, when we go to the dentist, we never associate these advices with Rasulullah. We say, oh, mashallah, this person, he went to study dental school, and he has this. The Prophet of Allah, he's given this to us. And many more things. This is just one of the things. That if we, again, we hold on to that root, the root of that tree, and we eat from the fruits of that tree, there's no blessing greater than that blessing. But again, we have to stay away from that duality. The last level and degree of love that Imam Sadiq, he mentions, he says, Tabaqatun yuhibbunana fi sir wal alaniya wa hum an-namatul a'la. He says, those who love us openly and in secret. He says, this is namatul a'la. This is the highest degree of love for Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhal salatu wassalam. Meaning that there's no duality in that devotion to Ahlul Bayt. Meaning that they don't appear to be lovers of Ahlul Bayt, devoted to Ahlul Bayt, the way of Ahlul Bayt, and then in secret they do something else. Nor do they appear one way in public that, oh, I'm not Muslim, or I'm not this, and in secret, oh, well, I have love for Allah, I have love for Ahlul Bayt. Unfortunately, some people think, oh, well, that's mysticism. That's not mysticism. The greatest warafa, the greatest individuals who were mystics or saints or had ma'rifat, understanding, profound understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Ahlul Bayt. But look at how they were, openly and in secret. They were the same. If it was an issue of justice, right or wrong, and open, they were pronouncing justice. Openly holding up the banner of justice, in secret holding up the banner of justice. In the world today when there's so much corruption, this is, again, one of the most amazing things, and we see that, yes, how many individuals have reached this level of devotion? That Imam Sadiq, he says, Namatul A'na. Sometimes we think that, oh, well, I can't say anything against this injustice. What's happening in Palestine? What's happening in Bahrain? No, we'll just pray for them. SubhanAllah, this is Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhal salatu wassalam, what we learn from Karbala, It's never the position of Ahlulbayt. They spoke out against the injustice. Even if they were not able to, Imam Hussein alayhi afsalatu wasalam, he took an army. Our other imams, they didn't have such support. Actually, Imam Sadiq alayhi afsalatu wasalam, when one came to Imam Sadiq, says, "Look, why don't you rise up and take your rightful place?" He says, "Okay, well, give me five people who are so devoted to me. When I command them, they'll listen." There was only but one individual. I was the servant of Imam Sadiq. He told me, he says, "You see your servant? Go in." Without question, he went in. Why? Because he understood that Imam Sadiq alayhi afsalatu wasalam, he is waliullah. And he would not misguide his follower. Imam Ali alayhi afsalatu wasalam, again, immediately after his rights were usurped, he was asked that, "Why don't you rise and take your rightful place?" He says, "Okay, five people come, shave your heads, and I'll take my right." Not even five people showed up at the door of the Amir al-Mu'mineen so that he can take back his reign. Thousands of letters came to Imam Hussein, telling the Imam that, "Come. We will stand with you. There's an oppressor. It's Yazid, and we will stand against him." Out of thousands of letters, who was devoted to Imam Hussein? Who was devoted? And when they wrote those letters, and again, they wrote those letters before Ibn Ziyad came to Kufa. So in a sense, they wrote this in secret. "Oh, well, we were writing, at least the governor in Kufa at the time, he's not a harsh individual. Hey, Imam Hussein, come. But when Ibn Ziyad came, and he closed off Kufa, this was the test. The moment we too are in a test, looking around us, looking at the oppression around us, looking at those who are standing for justice and those who are standing on the side of injustice, those who are raising the banner of justice, speaking out against injustice. What is, again, we have to think, what is our position? What is our position? Of course, this is not to say that, we won't, as Muslims, that we won't make mistakes, but again, if we make mistakes and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. But here, what we should learn is the principle. We see that, again, there are some Muslims who stand and everyone is against him. Now, if they're standing for what is right, even if, some things may need to go forward in certain aspects, fine. But at least in principle, they're standing for what's right. If others are standing for what's wrong, then there is no way that we can support those things. We support those who are standing for right. Again, our reliance that we have over one another as brothers, as sisters, as believing men and believing women, it obligates us to stand on the path of truth. It obligates us to help those who are, again, who are speaking out against injustice. And this is, again, very true point. And to be very frank, if we look at, again, the position of the world. What is going on in the world? What is happening? Again, who is standing up for at least justice, speaking out against injustice? Allah Ta'ala is speaking out against injustice. Everyone is saying something else. And still there's doubt. Still there's doubt what our position should be. No one's saying that, oh, well, hey, everything's 100%. Until the Imam comes, nothing will be 100% Islamic. Nothing will be 100%. This is why we're waiting. But those who are on that path of, and in the line of going towards what their duty should be, standing for justice and standing against injustice, is our responsibility. Again, to stand with justice, stand against injustice. Our brothers, if someone makes some mistake or something, المؤمنون بعضهم أولياء بعض. المؤمنون المؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض. The believing men and believing women, they have authority, they have guardianship, they have responsibility to one another, to guide one another toward what is right. But if in principle it is going in the right direction, our responsibility is to, again, stand on the right direction. And if there's something wrong, to help correct it. Not to go against it and to destroy it. Again, this is that point that Imam Sadiq alayhi afsalatu wasalam, he's mentioning. That what type of devotee are you to Ahlul Bayt? That's Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. We make matam and we hear in our masters and our Husseiniyah, but when it comes to standing for justice, when it comes time to stand for justice, we remain silent. Again, this is not what the Ahlul Bayt want. He said, no, in secret and in open, you're the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. In secret, when you're among yourselves, you speak what for the principles of justice. When you're in the open, you speak for the principles of justice. That's what Karbala is about. To remind us to stand up for justice, stand up for what is right. To be those devotees of the Imam of our time, as we saw in Karbala. To be those who love Ahlul Bayt, fil alaniya wa fil sirr, openly and in secret. And subhanAllah, among those companions of Imam Hussein alayhi afsalatu wasalam, who love the Imam openly and in secret, such beautiful companions. And his name is also the one who loves, Habib. Habib ibn Mudahir, he was one who loved Ahlul Bayt in open and in secret. He was one of those individuals who wrote a letter to Imam Hussein before Ibn Ziyad reached to Kufa. But unlike most of the Ahlul Kufa, Habib ibn Mudahir, after Ibn Ziyad, he had closed off and he had put guards around the city of Kufa. Habib ibn Mudahir, he gathered some of his clansmen and they fought their way out of Kufa. SubhanAllah, they had to fight their way out of Kufa, some of them being martyred in the fight just to get out of Kufa so that Habib ibn Mudahir can join the ranks of Imam Hussein. SubhanAllah, look at the love that Habib ibn Mudahir, he had for Ahlul Bayt. That he was, again, among the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen when Imam Ali, he was in Kufa. He knew the Ahlul Bayt. He knew the position of Ahlul Bayt. And it said that when Habib ibn Mudahir, when he was approaching the camp of Imam Hussein, Zainab al-Kubra, she saw that this is Habib, this is the companion of her father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. So she sent someone that, Iqra alayhi salam, that give Habib ibn Mudahir my salams. And when Habib ibn Mudahir, he heard that Zainab al-Kubra, she had sent especially salams to him, he began to cry. He says, Man ana, that who am I that Zainab al-Kubra, she will send someone to give salams to me. This is the love of Habib ibn Mazahir. It's said that when Habib ibn Mazahir, this is shortly after the time of Dhuhr, that he went forth to the battlefield. And as he went forth to the battlefield to sacrifice himself for Ahlul Bayt, announcing again that he is the lover, that he is the lover of Ahlul Bayt, Habib ibn Mazahir, he went forth saying, Ana Habib wa Abi Mazahir. I am Habib and my father is Mazahir. Farisun Hijal Harbun Jasad. That I am a warrior for Ahl Bayt. I am a warrior and I am ready for battle. Antum Adda Indatan wa Akathar. The enemies, they have a great army. They have amassed a great army. But that is not putting fear in the heart of Habib ibn Mazahir. He goes forward, he's saying, وَنَحْنُ أَوْفَى مِنْكُمْ وَأَصْبَرُ. That we are the most loyal and devoted to the household of Rasulullah. That we are the most patient in the faces of these calamities. This is Habib ibn Mazahir showing his love for the Ahlul Bayt. And it said that Habib ibn Mazahir, قَتَلَ قِتَالًا شَدِيدًا. That he went forth fighting a brave battle. And then there was someone from Bani Tamim. فَضَرَبَهُ بِالسَّيْفِ عَلَى رَأَسِ. Then this individual, he struck Habib ibn Mazahir upon his head. This was the end of Habib ibn Mazahir crying out his last salutations to Imam Hussein. أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا مَوْلَاي. أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا And you know that Habib, he was someone who was very elderly. They said that he was around 70. But look, it was those who were not only elderly in age, but even those who are young in age, that they would show their devotion. Even some who did not show to Karbala, those like Abdullah ibn Ja'far, who was sick and he was not able to go to Karbala. But he sent two young boys, Ma'un and Muhammad, his sons, just to show his devotion for Imam Hussein. That in the battlefield, that after the campaigns of Imam Hussein, they all gave their lives one by one. Then Bani Hashim, they began to come forth, they began to sacrifice their lives. And then it stated that two young boys, they came, the nephews of Imam Hussein. They came forth requesting their uncle, that can we too go on the battlefield? They had seen their cousin Qasim give his life. So they said, can we too go and sacrifice our lives for our uncle? And Imam Hussein, he looked down at Aun and Muhammad, and it broke his heart that how can I let the two young sons of my sister Zainab go out into the battlefield? Said Zainab al-Kubra, she came to Imam Hussein and she asked Imam Hussein that allow me to send my sons to sacrifice themselves for you. Imam Hussein, his heart was broken. He says, how can I allow this? And Zainab al-Kubra, she says, oh my brother, ya akhi, qabla hadha al-yawm lam atlub minka shay'an. That before this day, I've never requested anything from you. But today, I just have one request. Allow my sons to go out. Allow them to devote themselves to you. So at that request, Imam Hussein, he says, yes, my sister, you've never requested. So he allowed only Muhammad to go forth. It said that Muhammad, he went forth to sacrifice himself, saying, Ashku ila Allah min al-udwan, that I will complain to Allah about this animosity towards the Ahlul Bayt. own he that went forth, and own he's showing his relation to Ahlul Bayt. He showed his, and own was younger. He said when own came forth, some of the men they saw own, and they did not want to fight. But own, he said, "In tankuruni, fala banu Ja'far." That if you deny to fight me, that look who I am. I am the grandson of Ja'far al-Tayyar. I am from this legacy of Ja'far al-Tayyar. Kafa bihada sharafan fil mahshar. This should be enough for me. This is enough fakhr, enough for me in the hereafter. And then Aun and Muhammad, they both sacrificed their lives. And as they were falling from their horses, according to some riwayat, they called out to their uncle Hussein, "Ya Amma, Assalamu alayka ya Amma, Assalamu alayka ya Abba Abidillah." Ya Hussein.